I have to get on, guys. I'm sitting here this morning. I'm sitting here now on my way to work. And I'm listening to Howie Carr. And, like, you know, and I'm making a clip. I swear I'm not gonna, I shit you not. These guys know the conspiracy theories are real. But they don't want to lay any credibility on them. Because when they talk about gatekeepers, they're working for the gatekeepers. Okay? And they don't want to lose their job. So, a caller calls up on the Howie Carr show, and he goes, Howie, he goes, Soleimani is Suleiman, you know, it translates into Suleiman, okay? Now, Suleiman was like, I think that was like one of the, I don't know if it's the underwear bomber or something, or another terrorist. I'm drawing a blank right now on Suleiman. But in any event, no, that was Reed. Soleimani, it's ringing a bell. I just can't grab it right now. So anyway, the caller goes, well, you know, he goes, listen, you know, there's a story about an Afghanistan man that committed a rape, okay? And I guess during the hearing, he left the court. So he's in the middle of the hearing. The judge is talking to him. He just gets up and fucking leaves. Starts walking or some shit. Okay? He gets out into the hallway. And one of the family members is sitting out there. Okay? Somebody that's named, another name rings a bell. So as he's walking, the dude confronts him. And is like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then hits him with a one piece. Drops him to the floor. Starts kicking him and punching him and shit like that to the point where he's going to get saved by court officers and whatnot. So what I'm saying is, so my point here is that, you know, you're going to let these Afghans come in, right? Or Afghanis are coming in. And they're bred to think that we're the infidels, okay? So you're going to put a lot of women in fucking danger. A lot of women in danger. They believe in a Sharia law. That they're subservient to their fucking, to their husband, okay? They do everything by him. You fucking, where you sit in the kitchen, you don't talk. It's real degrading, okay? So I don't know first why people even support a religion, let alone a whole fucking people that believe in this shit, right? It's like Stone Age. It's like cavemanism and shit. You know, grabbing a chick by the hair and shit, dragging her. Like, these guys are heartless people. So do you think when they're sitting there with Netflix and when some chick and she says no, you think that they understand no? When all of their fabric of where they come from kicks in and says, well, I'm Afghanistan, you're an infidel, you're a white, you're a fucking whore at the end of the day. You're supposed to do this. This is how they think. Okay? Any woman that's outside of a marriage is a whore. Okay? They believe in 82 virgins when they die. Either 78 virgin or 82 virgins or whatever the fuck. You know, what religion rewards you with the Garden of Eden and the poison of the juice? Okay? I mean, like, literally, if you think about it, right? Come on, like, seriously. They like, pussy will get any man into any trouble long enough. You can't get pussy. You dangle pussy around a man long enough. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? She's gonna get stuck. So this happens. We have these people coming in through the boatload. Okay, this is just one instance of a shit ton that's gonna come down the pike. And then they want to talk about, and so then the caller talks about, well, you know, everybody in Iraq and you know the whole ISIS thing and da 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 was all CIA operatives. Okay, so then now at this point, Howie's got to fucking chill out. So now he's okay. I got a conspiracy theorist person that slipped through on the line, and he's on there. So now he says, so Howie goes, well, you're not going to tell me that the FBI assassinated JFK, are you? And then he goes, well, that one I can believe. This is straight verbatim what Howie says. That one I can believe. He goes, Afghanistan being a CIA person, he murdered hundreds of Americans. And I don't think everybody in the war was CIA operatives, but I might be wrong. And then goes into another fucking topic. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't say, oh, well, maybe I'm wrong, and then just switch over from another topic after talking about a credible deal of CIA operatives disguised as terrorists to create wars to kill American soldiers. All for what? For money. Okay? So now somebody's going to say to me and say, well, Wayne, you really believe that shit? Well, why does Howie say, well, I don't believe that, but I might be wrong? Here's a guy that's inside the know, like totally in the know for in the know shit, right? And you're going to tell me he's going to say, no, I might be wrong. Yeah, you might be, because how do you think they're going to generate trillions and trillions of dollars of black money to do this UFO shit or fucking any other fucking black project that they got going on? How do you think they get that money? That money don't come in thousands. That money comes in hundreds of millions. You know what I mean? You know, we're not playing with 50K, we're playing with 50 million at a whack. You know what I mean? So when there's a war going on, they know, okay, great, here's our 500 million for our next fucking budget on our next black project. Do you know what I mean? And why is ISIS all dead now? All of a sudden, ISIS is just totally fucking, Trump came in, fucking CIA said, oh, we gotta hold all operations, fucking, we got a real patriot in the office, we gotta stop, you know what I mean, he's putting us on notice, and, ISIS is history, do you know what I mean, it makes no sense, so if it's that quick to wipe out ISIS, which is a little thing, then the Houthis that are driving up the fucking price of oil, that are making me and you suffer and pay extra money for just because a couple guys want to play fucking pirates, the Caribbean on the seas of the Indian Ocean. We have to let them know, like, no, that's not going to happen, Papa. You're the Houthis. You're like ISIS. Maybe times two. Which is, like you're like a 20-day fucking conflict. You're a 20-day conflict, if that. And everybody wants to send missiles to Iraq. I mean, Iran. Do you know there's a reason why the United States does not fuck with Iran? And I'm not trying to draw any comparisons here. And I'm not trying to say anything of the such. But I'm just saying, Iran looks at themselves as the center of the Middle East. Okay, they look at themselves as the United States of the Middle East. All nations coalesce around Iran, okay? So when Saddam was in power, there was other Muslim nations that wanted to get him out of power because they wanted the power, okay? That's all these Muslims fight each other for is for fucking power, okay? And the oil spigot money. That's all they fight each other for. Same thing with MBS, with Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia. Okay, what did he do? He got into office and locked all his fucking uncles up, but like put them in palaces and like million-dollar mansions but locked them all up, house arrest, all of them. And now he assumes control. Okay. Because he knew he had to make start to, get into the new ways of thinking and some of the West ways of thinking and let women drive and put some kind of illusion out there that they are for equal rights, which they're not. So Iraq looks at themselves as the center of the universe in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia thinks that also. So those two do not like each other. Okay? So, because the Saudis work with the West, we got Aramco, you got fucking the other one there that I can't, OPEC. So, you know, you got a lot of money there that keeps everything cool. Well, now you got guys fucking driving up the price of oil. And like I said, so the reason why the United States does not mess with Iran is because the coalition effect, if you will, the allied effect, is too unpredictable. You know, I mean, if United States was to go in there, like, say, Israel, and was to demolish fucking Iran right now, right, and kept doing it, Saudi Arabia would lose their will, and they would switch. Iraq, we'd have to deal with Iraq. We'd have to deal with Syria. Then Syria comes on board. So Syria and Iran would be a good war for the United States. It cost us some money. That would cost us. That's going to cost us money. Are you ready to stop paying fucking cash? All you guys who want to throw bombs in the air and shit, you ready to stop paying more fucking money? You want that $6 again oil? Didn't you just buy a house? Didn't you just have a kid? Is it worth it right now? Do you know what I mean? If it is, it is. I get it. Now, you can go in there with superior air power and severely cripple a lot of shit over there, okay? We have the wrong president. I get it. You know, so whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. But to get into a full-fledged war, ground war in Iran is insane. Because then what if China wanted to come at us? Now what? Now we're in a three-pronged war that we're not going to be able to handle. We're going to have to call up our allies, and we're going to have to hope that our allies are going to want to fucking lay down the blood that's going to be needed to take this, to win this thing. Okay? Because if that ever happened, you would really have to really start pulling out some serious arsenals. And I think that's when you would start seeing nuclear activity. Just because it's like, okay, hey, look, I ain't got time to fuck with this, swat this bee, or this little cockroach, fucking cucaracha, with this here, with a hammer, with a sledgehammer, and then fucking we're over to China, trying to negotiate talks, because that's a serious opponent, right? Okay. So that's the reason why, you know, the United States of America won't go into a full-fledged fucking war with Iran. Because they know, and so does the Iranians know, that it's gonna be expensive, and two, there's a chance of losing what's going on in the Middle East, okay? You know, especially all our power and things of that nature. And the Chinese start feeding money in there to other proxies, okay, to attack you. It'd be an all-out fucking shit show, okay? So that's why it's not going to happen. There's not going to be a full-fledged war with Iran. That, I can promise you. From my own little uneducated mind, we are not going to go to war with fucking Iran for the reasons that I just laid out to you. Thus. So, now, UNRWA. United Nations of war allies or whatever. UNRWA is like a UNICEF. They come in with food. They're the biggest organization worldwide to feed people in war-torn countries and shit like that, right? So, if Israel couldn't get a better blessing from the world to then find out that some of their fucking people helped Hamas during this shit, that's the reason why it went undetected, is because it was fucking done by employees of UNRWA. And supposedly there's a number of about 190 of them out there. And so there's a big investigation from Israel saying, hey, listen, we want to stop all fucking food from coming into the, to Palestine. You know, the Israelis, right? If you see, this is why I feel America is like more friendly to Muslims than they want to lead on, because like Israel is going after them hardcore. Like, they're going to stop the motherfuckers out, is what they're trying to do. So, whether this is a false flag on UNRWA to get more support, to say, hey, see, this is why, they got to go, then this is the reason why we see this. But if it isn't, it's still a biggest, it would be the biggest fucking scandal, first off, if it was a false flag. But I'm sure there was people that were helping UNRWA. If Israel came up with this, it's not like it just happened yesterday that fucking disinformation was just coming out. So, obviously, you know, somebody knew something. But nobody told UNRWA. I mean, nobody told that Hamas is working with UNRWA, about 190 folks. They lay the bombs. Now Israel's saying, look at, no, now nothing's coming in. Okay? So, you know, they're going to pack all these people. They've been telling these people for the last month, go to the bottom of fucking Israel. And then Egypt is going to offer them food or shelter or something, because they're going to need something because they ain't getting nothing. And I guess it's like a whole geological fucking transfer. You know, it's like it's eugenics at its core. Okay? So then they're going to push the Palestinians totally out. Like, totally out. They're going to have fucking, oh, fuck, what's the name they call them things? Oh, God. What were the little houses that Israel's, I can't remember the little huts. I forget them. What the fuck their name was. The Butzkas. So, anyway, I'd be surprised to see that, I mean, so here's the deal. Like, and what something like that happens, you know, under every, you know, every worker in UNRWA is not bad. So not everybody in the organization is bad. Like, I hate when I'm driving and I get a fucking call from my boss and then obviously shuts down the whole recording and I'm in the middle of talking and I'm like, why? My boss calls me like 20 times a day. I swear to God, the guy can fuck up a wedge. So not everybody in UNRWA's organization is bad, right? Obviously, right? There is good people everywhere, right? So, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking real quick where I'm gonna go. So now there's people in UNRWA that are saying, this is wonderful. Like, we're in the middle of a war-torn country, right? And they're gonna start picking people like out of just like their investigation is like going eeny meeny miny mo. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no, you know, proven guilty until innocent and shit like that. Like, you're fucked, right? So 9 cats already got like the guy already got the harpoon. You know what I mean? Already got fucked. So now the thing is there's gonna be a lot of innocent people that work for that organization that are gonna catch a bad one. Just because some other people wanted to be assholes. You know what I mean? And I just find that's where I find it fucked up, is when, you know what I mean? When you have these type of organizations that run on, like, you know, on a shoestring budget and shit, they become easy targets and there's not going to be no fucking investigation. Because the person that runs it needs the donations to keep the fucking place afloat. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's like, what the fuck? So, should I even see if I can get it? But it's like, these people in fucking New Hampshire suck, bro. They really do, bro. They really do. Because they drive, like, in so spaced out from each other that you try to get in, then they fucking want to speed up, not let you in. And you're like, oh, come on. So just like, you know, it's just, you gotta put yourself into like a person's shoes right now, driving an UNRWA. And you're a good person. You got a wife and kid at home and shit, like, you're working, you're thousands of miles away in the middle of a fucking war, and you're trying to do something nice, and now all of a sudden this news comes out, and you're like, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. Like, they're like, you know, Bobby, like, Bob Jabbar is not gonna do an investigation. He's gonna go eeny, meeny, miny, moe and fucking grab us. Now, I just pulled a fucking delivery that had to go do a different route. I had to take a different route. So yesterday, so tomorrow, they're gonna fucking probably fucking suspect me on doing something. Next thing you know, he walks in and grabs his fucking truck, and fucking he's shot or fucking cut in two, all because he took a different route because there was rebels controlling that route. So he got killed for doing a good thing. It's just, to me, that's the shit that kills me. You know what I mean? When things like this come out. So yes, does it get my emotions going? And does it want me to fucking rock Iran's boat? Obviously, of course. Of course, I'd like to fucking take them to the dirt. But, you know, you got to do it in a sophisticated way, because they think in a whole different other way. You know what I mean? We have high tech, they go low tech, right? So, you know,
they'll wear tinfoil fucking hats and Faraday cages and shit like that, and old tech, old phones and whatnot. But you know, if you take a page out of Israel's book, they're starving. Israel knows how to take care of them, but that's why I feel America has more has more tolerance for the Muslim faith than they want to lead on to. You know what I mean? It seems like America is just like being fucking coy with us, and they're saying, oh yeah, you know, fucking, it's the death of America over in the Middle East, but like, you know, we'll shake them hands, we'll give them tips about fucking Shiite Muslims planting and dude stuff and all this other shit. And it just leads me to believe that, like, you know, look it, I'm gonna go out on a limb. A lot of people and you'll think I'm crazy, but look it, everybody that's in entertainment, Hollywood, sports, academia, the government, so on and so forth, NGOs, there is people that are white and they're Muslim, okay? Like, if I told you The Undertaker was a Muslim, would you believe me? No. If I said, yeah, the fucking Undertaker's a Muslim, you'd be like, yeah, right. You're fucking shitting me. The Undertaker's a Muslim. Wholeheartedly a Muslim. He wasn't caught. There was a photograph taken of him on an airplane with some elder Muslims on a plane and greeting them. Okay, so obviously this is, you know, a mashallah, you know, and things like that taking place. All right, and he bows before them. He has a shaven head. He has a beard. Okay, LeBron James going bald, got a beard, and so on and so forth. So what I'm getting at is the people that have beards is for, like, all of a sudden, like, the beard thing just blew up, okay? And these beards ran from fucking, you know, the redneck hills of fucking South Carolina all the way to the surfboards in LA, okay? And so that's why you got some hicky fucking dudes that are wearing beards, and of course they're hicks and they do that, but some of them are Muslims. And I think they run into our country, and I think they're in our government, and I think there is a huge, huge, huge friendship between Muslim countries and America, but yet they don't lead it on because it makes for the biggest, biggest fucking moneymaker. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could pave the streets with gold, for Christ's sakes, for the money that this country has made off of everything that we sell. Do you know what I mean? So when you have Howie Carr or Dan Bongino and they get sandbagged by some of these conspiracy theory callers that come through real quick, you can see that they're kind of on board with the conspiracy because they know that's a huge crowd and there's a huge fan base for conspiracy theories, and a lot of conspiracy theories have came to pass. So, you know, yeah, some of them are outlandish, like it was the CIA in Iraq. Yeah, it was. You know what I mean? Well, why? For arms sales, things of that nature. If you're the fucking DOJ and you're paying $100 or $200 million for another fucking group to take out this other group for your proxy, that group just made out with $200 million. Who is that group? What is that group made of? And how many? So you're telling me, okay, so your group's made of whatever, say 20,000. So I just gave you $200 million. So everybody there fucking is damn near a fucking millionaire. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, there's no accountability for this money, and that's, to me, is one of the alternators for the black ops to be taking place, and this is how the funds get provided through these operations that take place that use cash on delivery, right? That aren't untraceable notes. That's why you can't trace any of this money. It's not like they can put a fucking serial number and say, oh yeah, the serial number from that, blah, 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 went over there. Oh yeah, yeah, that's how we can trace that cash. No, this is all black ops money. This is black money. Black money. Money that's not even, like, it's probably came from the treasury and went right into a briefcase. The fucking notes ain't even registered. So once this black money gets deposited into a fucking Middle East account, right? and the agency SWIFT that fucking covers every fucking transaction, right? And then you hear, oh, well, America's going to lay sanctions. And you say, well, how the fuck are they going to lay sanctions? Now this is when they put the fucking serial codes in the money that they're using on the black ops operations. And that's how SWIFT knows to identify that cash on those counts. Or the money coming out of those accounts. Because now the notes are put into the system. Or they know what notes to look for. So they red flag a fucking series of fucking numbers. Okay? And once they say, oh, well, we're doing restrictions. Then you can say to yourself, okay. So now whatever black money was used before is now getting regulated. And that's how they're going to spot this money. And it's not even regulated, and I misspoke. It's not even regulated. It's just it's tagged, and they know because you know they say, "Hey, there's only one fucking batch that we took, and it's the serial number." So if you see the serial number come through, okay, you got to flag it. And those are the serial numbers. So he called again. Imagine that he called again and fucked up. So these are the notes that are registered with SWIFT. When we lay down a sanction, and we're going to sanction financial sanctions, these notes are marked, and then now they're being watched out by any transaction taken, and SWIFT is a company that operates every transaction, okay? So unless they don't take that money and buy a huge amount of Bitcoin with it, which they're going to take a loss of $43,000 on the dollar, right? Because it's whatever the price is of fucking Bitcoin. Oh, and then they got to be careful of it getting fucking halved, right? So there's a lot of shit that fucking that they gotta watch out for out there in fucking you know that well I'm saying that's how they get the money funded for black ops operations, aliens and alike. And shit, and this is how it all gets fucking traced, and this is how they can shut down, or they can put black money out of business, and they lay financial sanctions, because then you're going to say, oh, what do they do? Take everybody's name that's in the Kremlin or fucking in the mullahs and say, okay, watch out for this card. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes no sense. Now they can use another card or use MoneyGram or fucking this or that. You know what I'm saying? It's the dollars that they pay in cold, hard cash that are not registered with the Treasury because they're taking out the fucking back door. So this money is unbeknownst to anybody. So let's just say $2 million was cut today. It was only $1 million that came out the fucking... There was only $1 million that was cut today, not $2 million. You get what I'm saying? Because that $1 million is solely going to like some alchemy fucking asshole, right? And now he's going to put that money into an account. And then whenever they need to lay sanctions on that money, they're going to say to SWIFT, look out for this serial number. Okay? Now, the mullahs ain't going to say, hey, take $100 million and take whatever hit it's going to be to transfer that all into Bitcoin. They're going to try to fucking subversion into other different currencies. So it's just like this big whack-a-mole game at the end of the day. But that's how you can get an idea of how they put the sanctions on the cash itself. And this is how black money and black ops operate, is through the clandestine operations done by the CIA to take a subversion group of the CIA, okay, and cause conflict in the Middle East, right? And mind you, that all happens, and it's paid with Americans' tax dollars, Americans' blood, and there is nobody to account for any of that shit. Not one. And anybody that does, what do? They get dismissed as crazy and then labeled a conspiracy theorist.
You know, and then you got dead fucking American fucking soldiers fucking, you know, you got two that's in a fucking a watercraft. Sorry, lady, I gotta get to work. I don't know what you guys are doing. You know, you got them going in a fucking watercraft, and they fall off during an operation to stop some of these Somali pirates, some of these pirates from the Houthis, and they fall off the fucking Zodiac or something, and then they're like floating in the Indian Ocean. So one guy goes overboard, the other one goes after him, right? And then the other one stay on board, and they're like, fuck that, I'm staying on board, like, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? So, like, one had the balls to try to save the other, thinking that his boys would come and save him. And then they left the both of them out there. And they drifted off into sea. God knows what happened to him. Probably got eaten by a shark. You know, who knows? You know, could have been recaptured, you know, fountain of water. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And then, you know, you got the three, you got Tower 22 taken out. Not taken out, but, you know, it might have been confused. The radar was confused with the other drone, the American drone that was landing, the other one that was coming in. And see how low tech they do. They say, okay, well, let's just scramble a system. I doubt it can fucking identify in this and that real quick. I mean, yeah, technology is good, but it ain't that good. So they're finding little ways to sneak through the fucking system or override the system because they know the systems ain't that, you know, 100% accurate. So in turn, you know, these type of things happen. And it just sucks because you got, it's like you're sending ducks out there. You got 300 guys and you're in this base in the middle of fucking nowhere. And they put them right on the edge of fucking Syria, right on the edge of fucking Iraq, and it's like, what? You want me to stay here for fucking a year and just, you know, help? This tower helps special operations. So if you have an operations that needs to get taken by, like, retrieving the two Marines that fucking fell off the Zodiac, they would contact Tower 22 if it was in and around the area. They would be like the set command to control the operation or at least relay. What is needed, what's going on, a little play-by-play. And then I would imagine the Pentagon would have a live stream right into what's going on also that's taking place moment by moment. But just knowing the pure fact that you're fucked if you go overboard, you know, when they never say, oh, never leave a man behind. Oh, bet your ass they're going to leave you behind, you know. And it's, you know, there's just two families there, you know, and a bunch more now. It's just tough. And I salute those people wholeheartedly for having somebody that wanted to become a soldier, knew the risks, you know, evaluated and still continued to go because they said, hey, this is going to be beneficial to my career in the end. If I want to be a mayor, if I want to do this, do that, I have credibility. This will be able to really solidify me in whatever I want to do in my future. So I think there was a couple of young girls that died in their 20s. And then a gentleman that passed away was, I think he was like 46. So, you know, it's just like, you know, and obviously he was a lifer. Inside the Corps, so he was probably going to wrap it up soon and then probably run the halls of fucking the Pentagon soon. And it's just sad because it's just sad. So hopefully our response won't be weak like the bag of bones that's hanging in the fucking closet right now of the White House, because there has to be something that's loud that really lets them know, hey, this is not a good idea. You know, and that's that. I mean, but to get into some kind of ground war right now, I think would just be a little crazy just due to the fact of the sheer instability of that region, the Southeast Asia theater region, and what's already, you know, taking place in Donbass region. So it's just, there's a lot of conflict out there, and to rely on our allies and say, hey, you know, we're relying on them to fucking get us through is a fucking shit show. And so isn't this road that I'm driving on. My God, this is crazy. How is this life? Is this like this every day? I should have never, ever taken this fucking road. I should have just kept going, to be honest with you. So I don't want all the naysayers out there to go, oh, you're not a fucking real problem because I'm not a war hawk. Because I don't want to go out there and just start fucking dropping American bodies. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to have to, it's going to, that would, you're talking about an operation of 300,000 troops, 200, at least 150,000 of them, 150 to 185 of American troops. Okay. Cause this would be an American led coalition. You're going to get, you'd probably get the Brits, you're going to get UK on board. and get the French on board. The Canadians would be on board, maybe. Do you know what I mean? And that would get, that would probably accumulate another 15,000 to 20,000. So now you got another 200,000. You're gonna need at least 275,000 troops to go in there and really make a fucking impact. Do you know what I mean? It's the same. It's like you got to go in there with the sheer determination and purpose of like, we're stomping you out. You have to have that Israel mind effect, and I don't think America has that due to the friendship and the so-called, let me put the air quote friendship, I think, that they have with the Muslims in disguise due to the to help with the black op operations, and we all know what's the next best thing to gold is fucking oil. All right, so I don't. Why wouldn't they not play hand in hand with each other in the sandbox? Come on now, get real with it. You know what I'm saying? I love you all, Wayne Melanson.